south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. As you might expect, people are always asking me about banks down here in Latin America. Let's face it, they're everywhere, and I'd say that in every big city, you've got at least 20 or more banks to choose from. So then, which bank should you go with? I mean, even if you don't believe in banks, and I really don't myself, first world, third world, or otherwise, unfortunately, they are a necessary evil, especially if you get a disability check or a social security check. Or if you're lucky enough to be a trust baby or have a pension check, then you'll need a bank to have them direct deposited, so that you can get at all the funds immediately when you're down here in Latin America. As for Latin banks, you're going to have to end up using one or more eventually if you're going to transfer money down or just to have an account for your normal expenditures and, of course, if you have a business. So then some might say, why can't I just use my first world bank? Well, you know, you can do that, provided, of course, the country you're living in, the Latin country, is using the U.S. dollar as their currency, like in Panama, El Salvador, Ecuador, and Belize. Oh, and by the way, even though Belize has its own currency, everyone there takes the U.S. dollar at 2-1 against the Belize dollar. However, you know, if you live like a first world person in Belize, it'll cost you first world money, which is one of the many reasons I don't recommend Belize as a permanent expat destination. However, it's a great place to go for a vacation for a couple of weeks. And why is that? Because, unfortunately, Belize is right up there with Costa Rica, Panama, Chile, Argentina, and Brazil, not to mention most of Mexico and the big cities in Colombia, too. There, unfortunately, the cost of living has been creeping up quite dramatically, mostly because of first-world tourism and the contamination of the gringo dollar. What else? Yet another great reason to stay off the gringo and first-world tourist trail. Sadly, in some of these Latin countries like Costa Rica, Belize, Chile, and even Uruguay, the cost of living for you to live as you're accustomed to as a first world person is even higher than living in certain cities up in the States and in Europe. So, bottom line, if you want to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America, and you actually want to pay first world prices or more for that privilege, well, that's easy. Just look to places that are recommended by International Living. Seems they certainly do know how to ruin a good thing. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who continue to email me about Belize, what makes Belize even more expensive is that they've got no manufacturing there. They have to import practically everything except food and basic construction materials. So there, you've got a double whammy. Which is part of the reason why Uruguay is so expensive now. They've got a double, even triple whammy. They've got no manufacturing. About a good third of the people in the country working for government, which is a huge tax burden. And they've got a bum's rush of Argentine money coming in, flowing in from people with money who are trying to escape that self-destructive, brain-dead Argentine government. Which means you can cross Uruguay off your permanent expat list unless you like uncertainty and love living in the center of a socialist society. It's not creeping socialism anymore, it's galloping. But where were we? Oh yeah, banks. Well, here's what many expats do for a while anyway, until they get settled and have a better plan. They use their U.S. bank and have a debit or credit card to pull money out of ATM machines here. And yes, a lot of gringos and expats move down without getting a local Latin bank account for a long, long time, sometimes years, or never. Yes, down here in Latin America, ATMs are everywhere, and you can get out dollars and the local funny money. And generally, throughout Latin America, you can pull out $200 to $300 a day. And if you play the game right and use the proper ATM machines, and you can tell by the stickers on them, etc., you can generally limit your charge to about $2 a withdrawal. In fact, many ATMs down here will ask you that question when you're trying to pull money out. A window will pop up on the display and it'll say something like, your transaction will cost you $2. Do you agree or not? And you answer by hitting a button. And yes, nearly every ATM machine has a button for English. And why wouldn't they, since all ATM machines are made in the first world? So yes, there is a charge for taking money out of the ATM. Unless, of course, you have a credit or debit card from one of those U.S. companies that waives ATM charges. And I believe Schwab is one of those companies. But in most cases, you will end up paying 2% every time you withdraw money. That's why I always recommend people pull out the maximum $200 or $300, whatever it is. That way, for example, if you pull out $200 and it costs you $2 to do that, it's a 1% fee. That's all. However, if you do it the clueless gringo way, and I see a lot of people do this, especially backpackers, they'll pull out rather small amounts, like $20 or $50, and of course, still get charged the $2. So think about it. You pull out $20, that works out to a 10% transaction charge. Duh. So anyway, like I said, that can work for a while, but what happens if you have some kind of problem at the ATM and your home bank's up in the States or Europe? I mean, I've had that happen before where you try to get some money out and it doesn't come out of the slot or something doesn't jive on your withdrawal statement. Any number of things can go wrong when you're doing bank transactions. You know that. That said, if you haven't got a bank down here where you're living and there's no one to talk to face to face, who do you complain to? Your only recourse is to get on the internet and try to fight it out with your bank up in the States. Hopefully you can get a chat going. Good luck with that. So you can see, unless you're down for a short term, a vacation or a month or two, without having your own bank in Latin America, even a slight screw-up could turn into a nightmare. You really do need someone to talk to face-to-face and in English. That's one of the reasons you should always select one of the bigger banks. Because you see, at almost every branch, there'll be someone there who speaks English. And if none of the cashiers speaks passable English, just go to customer service or the international department. They always have someone there who does. So with all those choices, sometimes there's 20 banks or more in a city. What are you supposed to do, especially if your English sucks and you really do need to get a bank account? Well, of course, the answer to that is get yourself a good lawyer right away. He'll know exactly which bank or banks you should use. Tell him you want to use one of the banks that he uses for his own account. Though that's probably exactly what he had in mind already, which is good. It's not at all like it used to be. You can't just walk in, throw your passport down, and get an account. Not like in the old days. And one big tip here. Never use an ATM machine that's not connected to a bank or right alongside a bank and part of the premises. Now, I'm not saying you have to use exclusively the ATMs from the bank you have your account in. That's not necessary. However, it does, you know, offer another layer of security if there ever is a problem. So to repeat, and this is important, when you pull money out of an ATM machine, check and see what kind of people are standing around and in what kind of neighborhood you're in. And remember, almost every ATM machine will accept your card, by the way. That said, if at all possible, do make sure that ATM is in a bank lobby or connected to or on the premises of a mall right next to a bank. Because then you know, that bank itself is the one that's loading up and servicing that machine every day. It's part of their operation. Then, if, by chance, there is a screw-up or you don't get your correct amount or whatever, you got someone to talk to face-to-face who's got skin in the game. It's good to know you're right within 100 feet of the people who are responsible for that machine. Now, though that sounds simple enough, and I've mentioned it to countless people, still, I've heard stories from people down here who've had their cards swiped or their numbers cloned. But nearly always, as the story unfolds and the plot thickens, it somehow always goes back to an ATM at an isolated location like a gas station or in the middle of a block somewhere. Or a credit card transaction at a restaurant or a retail place. Now, when gringos and expats tell me of strange things that have happened to their credit cards, weird charges, etc., they always have a good idea where it happened. Which is why, by the way, so many long-term expats who kind of keep a low profile even under the radar are on a 100% cash basis, if you know what I mean. So now, of course, you're thinking, in Latin America, is it safe to carry that kind of cash around? Well, you don't have it in your wallet or your pocket or your fanny pack. There are special places for it. And by the way, there's very little reason to carry around any more than $100 or $150 in cash. Of course, you'll have an emergency stash of maybe $500 to $1,000 in your car or in your zipper belt, which is highly recommended, or elsewhere. There are a thousand great hiding places for little wads of cash, you know. But ready cash to spend on things, all you need is maybe $100 or $150. That should easily last you a couple of days just bumming around, maybe even a week, depending on your spending habits. Now, of course, I'm talking about if you're living down here in a fixed place, not just roaming around through Latin America like a tourist. Then you'll be paying hotel and transportation charges, etc., as well as eating out at restaurants all the time. So, in that case, maybe $100 or $150 is only going to last you 2 days. Who knows? People's traveling and spending habits are infinitely variable. Anyway, like I said, the longer you're down here, you realize it's a very good habit to be on a cash basis as much as you can. I mean, you know, Latins still gladly accept cash, without ID even. Cash is king and credit cards, well, they're just a bother. And many times they'll add 3, 4, or 5% service charge on a credit card transaction too. So look out for that. What I mean is keep your eyes peeled for a sign at the cash register that says there is a surcharge of whatever percent for using a credit card. Now, of course, it'll be in Spanish, but you'll get the idea. It's not hard to figure that one out. And by the way, when you have cash, you often get great discounts too. So don't forget to ask. For example, there are huge chains of pharmacies in Latin America, and almost all of them will have big signs on the outside that say 25 or 35% discount off retail, but that's only for cash. So in that case, you'd be nuts if you didn't pay cash. And believe me, pharmacies aren't the only places in Latin America that give big discounts for cash. You can usually get a nice cash deal out of almost anyone. The only real exceptions being first world franchises and first world department stores like Sears or McDonald's, Subway, Kentucky Fried, pretty much all the first world retail names you recognize from up north. If they're down here in Latin America, no cash discount. Prices are fixed. However, when you're dealing with Latin businesses and mom and pop shops, you can almost always wangle a cash discount out of them. Nice to know, but you have to ask. Now, as long as we're talking about banks, remember the good old days when you could put your money in a passbook savings account and get 4 or 5%? Back when you could get a bank CD and get even 6, 7, or 8%? That's ancient history, you know, pre-millennium stuff. Well, I know some of you younger listeners out there probably weren't even born when that stuff was going on. And that's why when new green gringos come down to Latin America and fresh expats, they're often shocked when they walk in a bank and they see that they can get quite high interest rates like that. Anyway, what we'd call unusually high rates these days, in the land of 0 or 1% or even negative interest rates. For example, I'm looking at a big Honduran newspaper now, and at one of the local banks, a big bank, that's got branches all throughout Latin America, probably a couple of hundred of them. It's a bank called BAC, BAC. Go ahead and look it up. It's very big. Let me read you right now what they're paying on CDs in the local currency. In Honduras, that's the Lempira. It starts out by saying 5,000 Lempiras to 50,000 Lempiras is the low end that you can put into a CD, a certificate of deposit. Now, figure there's more or less 20 Lempiras to the dollar. That's a CD where you have anywhere from $250 to $2,500. Now, if you take out that CD for 180 days, half a year, you'll get an annualized rate of 4.6%. Now, if you take it out for a year, you'll get 5.12% annualized. For 2 years, 6% annualized. And the list goes on. Suppose you were to put 500,000 Lempiras to a million Lempiras in a CD. That would be getting a CD in the range of $25,000 to $50,000. Now, for 180 days, that pays 6.5% annualized. For 1 year, it's paying 7.5%, and 2 years, it's paying 8%. Now, at the high end, it says here, if you put a million Lempiras to whatever, which is about 50,000 U.S. and above, if you take out a CD for 180 days, a half year, it'll pay 7%. For a year, 7.5%. 2 years, 8.6%. Wow, have you ever seen bank interest rates like that? And I know that makes it sound like we're living on another planet down here, but those are today's rates if you do it in the local funny money. And if you happen to be in another country, let's say Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Salvador, or wherever, you'll get pretty much the same rate in their funny money. And because these are such high rates comparatively, Many, many expats with extra cash ask me if it's worth getting into. You know, what are the downsides? Again, your lawyer will know which are the two or three strongest banks around. You know, ones that have been around 25 to 100 years, yes? There are a few banks in every country that have been around that long without a single bust or any notable problem to speak of at all. And obviously, those are the banks us expats want to use. That's why I repeat, you always have to hook up with a trusted lawyer. And how do you do that? Well, you could ask some of your new drunken gringo friends you met at the expat bar, which, by the way, is what most expats do when they first get down here. But let me tell you, if you're looking for references that way, you're really throwing the dice. Believe me, the scruffy gringos you meet at expat bars are not the guys to ask about things like that. There is a certain mindset with expats, especially the ones that hang with other expats at expat bars. Sure, it's true. They're always happy to help out a new gringo in distress, even though their advice and recommendations often suck. Because, you see, these guys on the gringo tourist trail and in expat bars off the gringo tourist trail, they don't get around much. They hang around with other gringos almost exclusively, which keeps them out of the real swing of things. And because of that, they're often marks for Latin scammers who are out trolling for just such clueless gringos. Now, I'm not saying you'll always get bad information and bad leads at expat bars, but you really are throwing the dice. So, those gringo expat bars are no place to find a dentist, a cleaning lady, or even a mechanic. Though you might find a good lead that way, you'll probably pay twice as much as you have to. If that's all right with you, so be it. But forever after, you'll be a mark. The problem is, expats and gringos want to be friendly to other new expats, and they'll often turn you on to a bad lawyer, for example, just because you're asking and it's the devil they know. For example, about a half a year ago, expat Eddie and I were talking to one of these expat barflies about that very subject, lawyers, and he proceeded to tell us about his lawyer and said he'd be glad to give us his name and number. And when Eddie asked him if the lawyer was a stand-up guy, if he'd ever ripped anyone off or could be trusted with big money, the guy scratched his head and said, well, he's been in and out of a few jams, so I wouldn't let him handle big money. He's Latin, you know, so you do want to keep your eye on him. Then he added, you know, he does speak good English and has a few gringo clients. As if that's supposed to be the big selling point, you know? Well, as a matter of fact, clueless gringos that come down do believe those are the two best selling points. A guy with gringo clients and a guy who speaks English. You know what? That's no way to select a lawyer. First of all, almost all young lawyers, guys under 50, let's say, speak some English. And the ones that advertise in the newspaper and on the internet, English spoken here, those are the guys you should be a little leery of. Not that that automatically makes them crooks, but you're going to be paying gringo prices. Because you see, what they're doing is fishing for gringo clients. So there you have it, the perfect example of how not to get a lawyer. The fact is, you'd be surprised how many fresh gringos go to the expat bars and ask tipsy expats they meet for professional references. Honestly, you'd be better off throwing a dart at the lawyer section in the phone book. And yes, they still have phone books down here and they're awful thick. Remember that lag time thing I told you about? Anyway, so how do you find a good Latin lawyer who won't rip you off, won't charge you first world money, and will look out for your interests at all times? Well, first of all, let me warn you that when you're on the gringo tourist trail, those kind of guys are hard to find. But when you're off the gringo tourist trail, it's a very different story. But still, even off the gringo tourist trail, there are some bad ones in the bunch and some that are much better or worse than others. I mean, after all, these are lawyers we're talking about, not altar boys. So the question is, how do you find a good one? Well, go back into my radio archives. I did quite a few shows on just that subject. But the easiest way by far is to just come down to my next Latin American seminar, which is in January. I'll hook you up face to face with some highly recommended Latin professionals. So if you're worried about that lawyer issue or how to find good doctors and hospitals and accountants and professionals, etc., everything an expat needs, the works. Well, I'll tell you, the best and most surefire way is to come down to my Latin seminar. So have a look at the details. Go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link, and get all the information. So as of this recording, you've got about 3 months till launch time. Plenty of time to work out your schedule, etc. So once again, go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link, and do sign up. It's a way to get in on the fast track to learn exactly what it's like to live down here as an expat, and like I said, meet my recommended group of professionals. Oh, and by the way, they all speak English, and they all come at third world prices. Why? Because we're off the gringo tourist trail, that's why. So, what's so special about being off the gringo tourist trail? Well, there are a lot of great things about it, including the fact that the gringo advantage is very strong. But besides that, one of the advantages I like to cite is that you could be in a city of 500,000 or 1 million people, walk around all day and not see a single gringo, save maybe the odd backpacker or Mormon. And I mean walk down busy city streets and even in shopping centers and malls. As long as you're not at the airport or in a convention center, you'll almost never see a single gringo. You're kind of the Lone Ranger, which, believe me, once you get used to it, is a very good thing. Now, once in a while, you will think you see a gringo, but more often than not, it's just a local Latin in the upper class, the criollo class. That's criollos, the 1 or 2% of Latin Americans who own about 90% of the land and most of the massive basic consumer products down here, like cement, sugar, coffee, Coca-Cola and beer franchises, etc. So these criollo guys and gals do look exactly like your first world stateside waspy American. Tall, white, and, well, gringo looking. And they do their damnedest to appear that way. So note, if you're off the gringo tourist trail and you do see one of these guys and gals and you think he's a gringo, and you walk up and say, "Hey, where you from, bud?" Which, by the way, is the usual greeting when you're off the tourist trail and you run into a gringo. Suddenly, it's old home week and you're best friends for 10 minutes, even though he's from Maine and you're from Cleveland, 1,000 miles away. Such is that weird attraction we have for fellow Americans, that is, for many of us who've been off the gringo tourist trail for a long, long time. And that's a phenomena that usually strikes early in your expat career. A kind of a craving to speak to other gringos face-to-face after you've been off the gringo tourist trail for 6 months to, let's say, 2 years. Now, I admit it happened to me too, but after about 2 or 3 years, I got over it. And so will you. And I found that the quickest way to get over that is to learn your Spanish a bit. Now, note, if you are off the gringo tourist trail and have a gringo craving, you could always pop over for a gringo fix at the nearest tourist spot. Or, Buddha forbid, one of those tacky expat bars I'm always dissing. And believe me, you don't want to get addicted to those places. They're dead ends. Better yet, jump on Skype or Mumble and connect with your favorite loser relatives and friends up in Detroit. After that, you'll probably swear off gringo contact for a long, long time. So, why am I bringing this up? Because so many long-term expats that I know will tell me that they're getting more and more impatient with the crap and complaints they hear from their relatives and friends up in the States, on Skype and such. And worse yet, when stateside friends and relatives come down to visit, or said expat takes a short hop up to Cleveland or LA, that expat often has enough of the relatives and friends after about 2 or 3 days. Which proves the old adage that visitors are like fish. After about 3 days, they start to stink. But I digress. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I was talking about those criollo guys you see off and down here that aren't gringos at all, but sure look like them. So anyway, when you're off the gringo tourist trail and you think you see a gringo, if you say, "Hi, bud, where you from?" there's a very slim chance you'll say Atlanta, Boston, or Cucamonga. Instead, he'll say something in Spanish you probably won't understand. Now, he won't be rude, not at all, because you're a gringo and you've got that gringo advantage going for you. However, if you happen to be a short brown person of fairly obvious indigenous origin, if you said, "Hey bud, where you from?" he'd probably look right through you as if you weren't there. Such is the inflexible nature of the class system in Latin America. But let's get back to these bank CD rates. So, I'm looking in the paper. Like I said, if you got 50,000 bucks or more and you put it into the local funny money, if you hold a bank CD for a year or so, you can get up to 9% annualized interest. But note the rub here is that it's in the local funny money, which is always up and down against the dollar, mostly down. Although, do note that in the last 2 or 3 years, a lot of the Latin American currencies, for example, like the Brazilian real, have increased 10 or 20% against the US dollar. But don't be fooled. Note, that's actually pretty much a fluke in the trend, because if you look over the last 20 to 50 years, you'll see that nearly every single Latin American currency has just been killed by the US dollar. For example, just 20-something years ago, the Guatemalan quetzal was 1-to-1 against the dollar, and now it's about 8-to-1. Duh. How'd that happen? Well, try this simple formula. Terrible corruption in government, gargantuan debt, mismanagement on a massive scale, and stupidity, also on an epic scale. Sound familiar? It should, because that's the state and federal government game plan up in the States, too. Now, the story I'm telling you about the Guatemalan currency is not a rare occurrence in Latin America either. It's more the status quo. Think of it. A quetzal that was worth a buck 20-something years ago is only worth 12 cents now. And adjusted for inflation, it's worth about 5 cents because the US dollar has lost more than 50% of its earning power in the last 20 years or so. But no one down here in Latin America ever talks about that. Because, like I said in a past show, Latins consider the dollar a benchmark, unshakable and good as gold. Talk about an incomplete education, huh? So, the Guatemalan quetzal has lost 80% of its value in the last 20-something years, as have nearly every other Latin American currency, too. So, if anyone tells you that a certain Latin currency is rallying against the dollar, that might be true in the very short run, but in the long run, they always lose. So, the general recommendation is never to put your US dollars into the local funny money and then put it in a long-term CD. Yep, you'll get very high interest rates comparatively, but it's a losing game in the long run. Unless playing the currency markets is your bag, then, well, that's another story. Now, get this. You'll find that most Latin American banks will also give you CDs in US dollars. Yes, CDs in US dollars. But as it works out, they pay about half the interest rate of the equivalent US dollar amount in the local funny money CDs. Sometimes even a bit more. Now, as you might imagine, many, many expats are interested in doing bank CDs down here in Latin America. And on the next show, we'll be talking all about it, so stay tuned.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.